The thing that's so challenging about copywriting is it's not like selling in person. Face to face, I can see you, you can see me, you can make judgments about my facial expressions, how I am reacting to what you're saying. But in copy, we can't. We have to use the power of words, spacing, how we lay out the copy, how we sequence the ideas, all play into making the copy work.
This is another episode of the Automate Grow podcast. My guest today is Linda Bennett from Shiny Object Marketing, and Linda is a professional copywriter. Linda, thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Okay, so I think we should really start off with, what is a copywriter?
That is a great question. And it's funny how people always say that when they're looking buying for time. That's a great question. But it is a good question because the term gets thrown around quite a bit. And people are saying copywriter, they're saying content writer, they're saying writer, they're saying wordsmith, they're saying editor, proofreader, creative writer, editors, content writers. All of those things are all separate. And then there are copywriters. And copywriters, the difference is a copywriter is a person who is writing with the intention of selling something. So we're not just writing a blog post. We could be writing a blog post with the intention of selling something, or putting an offer inside of that blog post, but we have a strategy that we're laying out that involves selling. And our conversion or persuasion. We're looking for clicks, you know, sign up, buy now, or something of that order. So a conversion copywriter is sometimes what I call myself, conversion focused copywriter, so that people will have a context about what a copywriter is. And we are, as we were saying earlier, we are a shallow gene pool. Because thank you for giving me that.
Yes, there's a comment that they made before we went on the air about something. So.
That's right. Because we are also in that same genre of being, you know, talented people who use specifics in order to calculate what we're going to write. And that includes data-driven copy. And I was just reading an article recently where people were going back and forth on that. And when I talk about data-driven copy with people, I'm talking about Google Analytics is one thing, but more importantly, feedback, data-driven feedback. What are your customers saying about you? And in today's world, knowing what your customers think is super important to letting you know whether you're hitting it or missing it. And if you're hitting it, drive that and drive deeper and down that hole to get the kind of customers that you want. So it's not about just psychographics and demographics. It's a whole comprehensive look at what it is that you're doing and what the results are or the outcomes that you need.
So, you know, you kind of went through a few different things that people get confused about, but I think you hit it on the head, which is, okay, so you're writing stuff that sells, and that stuff could be cold email, could be ads, could be, what are some of the things that you get involved with?
Landing pages, websites, home pages, about pages are really important, really key, because they're so often misunderstood. They're written either as a resume or they're written as a fact sheet. And the about page is far from that. The about page is another opportunity to sell your business, your company, your team, and talk about it in terms of how you help your customer. Not, you know, I went to school, I've been in business for 20 years, my company's been around since turn of the century. You know, while interesting, it's not going to impact or be a game changer for somebody else.
So we had talked before on another occasion, and, you know, some of the famous copywriters that are out there that maybe people know of, like one we mentioned was Dan Kennedy, right? Mm-hmm. Who's not dead, by the way.
Exactly.
I thought he was dead because, like, there was a weird internet rumor that he died.
That's right.
I think you wrote actually an email off the side, which was like, I'm not dead yet.
I know.
So Dan Kennedy is one that's pretty famous for writing basically copy that sells, right?
Yep.
Who are some of the other people that, you know, just to frame it, like who would be someone kind of the well-known copywriters that are out there?
John Carlton is famous. Ray Edwards is famous. I'd have to turn around and look at my bookcase.
I mentioned that other one with Jim Edwards, right? He's written a book with Russell Brunson, and he has a copywriting framework. Right?
Yep. And
copywriting secrets. I think that's it's continuing with that theme, right?
Yes. Like, yeah. And you know, there's just tons. John Caples. I mean, you could go back years, and there's just classics. And one thing is true is that they're all the same. And I don't mean to diminish their work, but the principles that were solid 100, 200 years ago are still solid today.
Oh, it goes back that far, I guess, right?
Because of papers
and.
Oh, yeah. Well, back to catalogs and mail order and magazine ads and things like that. And, you know, we had to depend on the written word and catalogs to sell. And back in the day when there were catalogs, the Sears catalog and, you know, the catalogs we used to get, the Neiman Marcus catalog that come out every in the fall for Christmas and stuff, you know, they're all built on the fact that we want you to take action and buy something.
Got it.
You know, pick up the phone, send in the card.
Yeah, so do something, take action, right? The call to action, which people are probably getting familiar with, or if they're not.
Even warranty cards.
Interesting.
You know, back in the day, you know, we used to feel compelled to fill out warranty cards on everything we bought. And that was just lead generation, you know, for those companies.
Crazy when you
think about that. Yeah, they were collecting their market demographics from that.
So I've read, you know, for example, Ray Edwards' book I thought was really kind of enlightening. And he talked about, he provided a framework that I've used often, which is PASTOR. Is that kind of similar to other copywriting, or do you have your own framework?
No, we all pretty much follow a similar type of framework. PASTOR is his, which he just takes it just a few steps further. But then there's the ADA, attention, interest, desire, and action. There's PAS, which is just, you know, pain, agitation, solution. There's, you know, various themes and formulas, but they're all basically kind of wrapped around the same. And, you know, depending on the nature of what you're doing, it's, you know, you're building on the same thing. And it dives into our psychological, our psyche, as far as fear, reward, fairness. We're all looking for, we're looking to avoid a pain and loss, of course, and reward for that. And then of course, we're all looking for fairness. And fairness, I mean, one of the books that I even love is, I forget the guy's name, but he was a FBI negotiator.
Oh, okay.
And he wrote a book about negotiations, which is super.
That's so interesting. I know who you're talking about, because have you seen Masterclass?
Yes.
He's got a Masterclass, right?
Yes. Yeah. And his company is called the Black Swan.
Black Swan. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, and
I've seen the Black Swan movie, but
yeah,
and it's different, right?
yeah, and I think his name is Chris, but yeah,
right, it's I'm gonna look it up quickly. Oh my goodness,
I'm a part of his email list.
Chris Voss, is that it?
Yes,
that's it.
Yes.
You know, it's funny, I've been resisting watching that masterclass, but I think I need to go to it.
You should, yeah. Because it's so interesting, and you know, the way that we process as humans and logically step through things is he kind of walks through that, which really plays into sales and copywriting. And the thing that's so challenging about copywriting is it's not like selling in person.
Right.
Face to face, you know, I can see you, you can see me, you can make judgments about my facial expressions, how I am reacting to what you're saying, but in copy, we can't. So we have to use the power of words, spacing, how we lay out the copy, how we sequence the ideas, all play into making the copy work.
So I think that's always a challenge in my head, because I probably more traditionally am a face-to-face type salesperson or business development or something along those lines, where I'm like customer facing, more of an enterprise environment. And of course, the challenge of knowing who your ideal client is, but then trying to reach them and you haven't met them.
Right. Yes.
It's you feel like you're going out into a vacuum. And you're, to your point, there's no immediate feedback, right?
Right. That's right.
So we had kind of touched on just before this on, you know, we had talked about three different frameworks, which really, I just wanted to touch on. One I mentioned was PASTER, right? Mm-hmm. You talked about ADA and PAS, which is Pain Agitation Solution.
Right.
But just for people that are listening, PASTER is like an acronym, right?
Right.
And it touches on each of the letters.
Pain. It's pain, agitation, solution, testimonial, outcome, and
months or something. Does that sound right?
Recommendation could be. It goes back and kind of recaps. You know what it
is? I think the O is offer.
Okay, offer.
R is response, which is you action,
basically. Yeah.
And I think he breaks down, this is the Ray Edwards formula. So anyone that's writing ads, anyone that's writing landing pages, anyone that's writing email, whether it's cold or nurturing, what we're talking about is this science where you're using the psychology of selling, like understanding where someone's at in the buyer's journey.
Yes.
What do you tell them to get their attention and at different points in their buying journey, right?
Exactly. So, and you have to anticipate their objections. Because you have to weave that into your story, because you know that in the back of their mind, they're saying, so what?
So what?
Okay. They're saying, so what? No. And so you have to weave into your thinking, you know, what is their objection? And that's why even in Ray Edwards, he puts, you know, his testimonials or his proof is actually what it is. So okay. He's suggesting that within it, you talk about how other people have used it, how the results they've gotten, which is very powerful.
Right.
You know, we're always looking for stories to validate our point of view.
So again, in his framework, you know, we talk about the pain and the person that has that pain, right? Mm-hmm. And the problem, right, that causes that pain. And then A is like agitation, right? So like amplify. Exactly. If this never changes, this is what the result of that is.
Right, right. Well, in some cases, you have to kind of go after the pain in a couple different ways. I take, for example, a lot of people in the health and wellness space, their transformation that they're offering people, or they're looking for, or they typically fall into a zone of, I'm looking for people who, you know, want to look good for swimsuit season, or they just want to lose 10 pounds, or they have a wedding to go to or a party to go to. And, you know, while there's a whole lot of people in that category, in that pool, you could expand it even further if you did some other research and reading. For instance, there's a new book that my doctor was telling me about, because I actually need to lose 20 pounds. And all of those other examples are not motivators for me. You know, I see the Jenny Craig and the Weight Watchers and all that, and they are not motivating me to lose 20 pounds. But what my doctor pointed out to me is that weight loss and exercise are great for your mind and for your brain. Okay. And I have people in my family who have a history of dementia. And so my brain is very important to me.
Especially for what you're doing, which there's like, even though you have a framework, there's a creative element to fill in that framework.
Right.
You got
to. So she got my attention. Yeah. So what I say that to make the point that people should, writers and people who are in the sales market should dig deeper to find more important reasons that people would want to take action. Something that is really more with higher value than just something superficial like looking good in a bathing suit. And there's a values pyramid that that we use also that, you know, tries to strike the chord to check the boxes off on the people in our potential pool.
Is that like a like a hierarchy of needs or is something?
Actually, it goes beyond that. It's Harvard, if you Google pyramid of values, you'll see that Harvard did a really extensive article on that. It looks like this.
Oh, got it. Oh, wow. Okay. There's a lot of things to check there.
Yeah.
So I suppose you have that like in a laminated
folder
because you're using
that. I do. Yeah. And
which of these am I appealing to? Is that kind of the
idea? Yes. Yes. And actually, when you look at it, Apple uses appeals to some of these as well.
Okay.
And these are the functional or the emotional connections that people are looking for. And the more of these that you can check off, the more powerful your copy, because you want it to be so powerful that the person is, you know, dying to see what's next, you know, because you've given them hope.
You've given them hope. That they can solve the problem they have and then get
rid of the pain. That's right, because we're solving problems where the person's hair is on fire.
Okay.
You know, if you're trying to solve a problem that's more like a vitamin, you know, right, which I consider looking good in your bathing suit is more of a, you know, improvement. People are not necessarily motivated for improvement, but they're motivated to, again, you know, resist loss and for big rewards.
Interesting.
Big payoffs, yeah.
So let's use a selfish example.
Absolutely, so absolutely.
If we're like, so I guess, you know, when I, because it makes me think, am I writing within this framework even though I know it? Am I actually using it?
Yeah, you could dig deeper, yeah.
So it's like, you know, in let's call it someone that's, I'm trying to think here. Let's say it's someone, you know, you get these really crazy emails, right? That are like, hey, I've got a software development team or I've got capabilities in this area. And it's like a laundry list of capabilities, right? And you see that a lot on LinkedIn, you see that a lot on like cold email that you feel is coming from like a fact, you know, a factory of email.
Right, right, right.
Right. So to flip that around, what we're saying is, how would you appeal? Like, what's the actual pain that that would be solving, right? So for example, if let's say, I'm going to use that example again, which is you've got these software development teams that are out there trying to pitch, hey, we can build everything on every platform, right? Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is the flip to that is understand who you're sending it to and the real pain that they have. And maybe the real pain, which is not being addressed by you giving me a laundry list of your capabilities, is, are you having a hard time finding qualified sales or software development people? Or maybe it's, you see, it's like trust, right? It's like the team you can trust has the right capabilities. And has it been really difficult to get someone at the right price?
Yeah.
Those are all maybe potential pain points.
You have to even back up even further. Like, are they trying to launch a product, but they don't have the right team in place?
So that's getting even more specific, right?
And at the same time, you're giving yourself the opportunity to provide a better and a bigger and a maybe a more robust solution. You know, when you go to the doctor, he doesn't say, well, I do heart surgeries, I do stents, I do bypass, I do, you know, all this laundry list of things. They start out by asking you, what's your pain? What's your problem? What brings you here today? So you have to get back to the basics of what is it that businesses want. They want to be competitive. They want to launch new products. And, you know, they want to be the giant in the marketplace. And how are they going to do that? They have to be quick on their feet, nimble. And what do you have that makes them that? How can you make them that?
It's okay. So it's almost like getting more specific to who is the real target audience, rather than blanketing it with, here's my capabilities, does anybody want it? What you're suggesting is, hey, we develop digital products for, let's call it pharmaceutical companies.
Well, you don't even say digital products. You don't even say, because it's not the what that you deliver. It's the why. It's why are you delivering it? Okay. What business problem are you solving?
That makes
sense. And then, you know, once you get into the conversation, then you can determine in what they need. What's the technical thing they need? But before you get to that, you have to say, what is their problem? It's the who, you know, I help pharmaceutical companies develop solutions to, for new products, you know, to launch new products or something like that. You know, you're helping them deliver in the delivery system.
That makes sense. Okay. So that's like getting out of your own way, right? It's like, instead of thinking about, well, this is what I want, which is I want you to use one of these services.
Hire me. It's hire me.
Right.
Yes.
Like what you're saying is, okay, like take a step back and calm down here.
Yeah.
What is it? What are you telling the person? Like, what are you actually, you know, what's their pain?
What do they want?
Right.
What do they want? You know, what is their next business goal? What is the next thing that they are looking to do to level up, either stabilize, level up? You know, what are they looking for to solve chaos within their company, with the amount of movement that's going on? So you really have to look at it from a business perspective, and then you go in there as the solution, and you've got lots of things in your toolbox. You never know which tool you're going to need, but you've got lots of tools to choose from.
So that makes sense. So it's like, you know, get out of your own way, think about that other person that you're appealing to. And I guess the risk is that your assumption of what their problem is wrong, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And even if you're close, you know, they can kind of get where you're coming from, as opposed to sending somebody a cold email with a laundry list of things that you do, like right, a cafeteria, and assuming that they know that you know what they're going to use them for. You know, I see people all the time advertising that they're SEO specialists.
Right. And, right. That's a great example.
There you go. SEO is like crack. You know, everybody thinks they need SEO. Everybody is like so hot to have SEO. But why?
Yeah. What is that?
Yeah. Where are you really going with this? So it's, what's the purpose? And, you know, what are you going to get from it? And certainly there's answers to that, but not every business is driven in that direction.
Yeah. So I guess if we think in that's a great example. So I see people pump out like, hey, we do SEO, SEM, and it's another laundry list, right? But what you're saying is, wait a second, why does someone want SEO, which is they want new business, so they want to grow.
Or the traffic.
And they want free traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Search engines, because people are searching for answers to problems.
Right. So is SEO the answer? Maybe.
Maybe, but we're not there yet.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We need to know a bit more about what they're after, what they're doing, what their plans are, and look at, you know, what's the infrastructure that they currently have in place.
So copy around that, we're saying, would be, you know, let's say you're targeting a business owner, and the problem they have is they don't have enough business.
Right.
And if we amplify that, was like, you know, do you have enough business that's coming in from your ideal client for the things you do the best? It's kind of what we're saying, right? That's the amplification part. Like, and if that never changes, will your business still be in business?
Yeah. And within business, for copy, I mean, people have to think inbound, you know, people have to think all different levels of the funnel, you know, stacking the top of the funnel with, you know, fresh leads, massaging them in the middle, and then of course, converting them when they get down to the bottom, and not only converting them, but converting them more than once. And that's where a lot of people miss opportunities, they miss the opportunity to increase the lifetime value of their customers by not offering them more. They leave money on the table when there are people who already know them, like them, trust them, who would do business with them some more if they only gave them a chance. Again, you can't read their minds, so all you can do is create a relationship with them, mostly via email, that allows them to self-select based on stories that you tell them about things that you're doing for other people, and getting them to click and say, I'm interested in that too.
So that's the testimony and transformation stories. Like,
yeah,
it's like, hey, this person had this problem. This is how it's solved. Okay.
Or we're seeing new trends in the market doing, you know, it's kind of like a stock report. You know, we're seeing trends in the market where people are looking at this and they're looking at that. And you could do the same kind of thing. It's the same parallels in your email copy that you keep up with your existing customers. So it's easier to sell people more than once. You know, you've already sold them one time. It's easier to sell them again. It's harder to sell people at the top. So you've got to spend a lot more money.
That's, you know, it's funny because I was thinking that. So you mentioned like taking a funnel approach to this, right? Which is, at what stage are they in that? And I think you had outlined it as the ADA, right? Is my assumption.
Well, the funnel assumes the copy takes different, you take a different wrinkle in the copy depending on where they are in the funnel as well. You're looking to get them into the top of the funnel, and you use ADA in all different parts of it, but you're talking about it in different ways, and you offer different options in the top of the funnel. You're offering some bait. You know, you're looking for something that's just basically going to get their attention, a checklist, a guide, or something to get them to come into your world. And then after that, you're going to offer them, you know, whitelist. We're going to offer white papers, reports, software tests, free trials, consultation, any of those types of things.
Okay. Yeah. So that, like, the lead magnet type stuff is the stuff that you're trying to bait them. You're saying,
yes,
get them in the top. And the focus on that is, you know, here's something on the future or industry specific, or here's a story of testimony and transformation.
Right. You think of yourself walking through a convention, you know, a home show where they've got these people who are hawking their stuff, and, you know, you're just doing everything you can to get that crowd in front of you. And once you've got them in front of you, then you're going to do your spiel. And so that's the same way the funnel works, is, you know, you're just trying to do everything you can to get that crowd in front of you. And then you're just going to build on that conversation, because whether the story is true that it takes 7 touches for them to, you know, do business with you. Right. I mean, who knows? I opt in for stuff, and, you know, it could be a year before I actually need it. Or it could be that they finally have talked about something that's of interest to me. So that's why you always have to keep it fresh and talk about all the different things that you do and how you do it and what's your values. And, you know, I mean, there's so much to prove these days because there's so many options.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And it's easy to get lost in that. So, so it's interesting to hear how you think and you structure content. So, you know, so it's like, we have this framework, we're talking in terms of the problem the person you're trying to reach is, and then, you know, you're talking about stories of testimony and transformation. And then to be considerate of, is this a totally person that has no awareness of me?
That's a hard person to sell.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they typically have no awareness of you. Yeah. At least they have awareness of a problem.
So again, it's like, they understand what their problem is. And if you hit that, and they, oh, this guy's talking about something I'm actually thinking about.
Yeah. Like SEO.
Yeah, which is,
like, you know, there's people like Neil Patel, and he can sell SEO like nobody's business, and he's got some solid teachings on it. If you go to his site, you can learn a ton of stuff, and you can get drawn into buying his SEO programs even when you don't need it.
Interesting.
I mean, I've had to back away just back away. Because, you know, the easiest person to sell is a salesperson.
That's true, right?
You know, and that's me. If I love a good sales pitch. And
SEO, so that's interesting you said that. So when I search Neil Patel SEO, sorry to cut you off, and I look at his website, that's interesting. So I didn't even think of that in terms of Neil Patel, but he has that Uber Suggest tool.
Yes.
And I subscribe to SEM Rush because it's really interesting to show customers or show yourself. Like if we're writing, this is the stuff we got to like target.
Right.
We have to make sure that we have keywords because
direct
correlation to traffic. What happens with that traffic is another issue. But so to your point, when I go to Neil Patel's website, do you want me to do your marketing for you as his offer right away?
Yes.
I want to work with Neil Patel. So he's confused on where to get started. Do you want my team to just do it all for you? Yes, I want to work with Neil Patel. That's really interesting.
Yes.
And the title of this page is, what is SEO? And SEO made simple, a step-by-step guide for 2020.
Yeah.
And he's got like, he's got calls to action all over. Like
he is.
Inside. Like, I don't know if I can show this. I wonder if this
is. He is fabulous when it comes to marketing. That. Yeah.
So that's a really interesting example that you just provided.
Yeah.
I don't even know how this is going to look on the video, but hopefully it shows properly. So you can see like, this is kind of what you're talking about, which is this is copyrighted in the sense, which is I got there by searching Neil Patel SEO.
Uh-huh.
So I knew I was looking for Neil Patel. He's got videos on the topic, consistent visual branding. Interesting. He's got Moz there, which is someone that's been on the podcast, which is the founder of Moz, which is Rand Fishkin.
Mm-hmm.
Rand, I don't know if you're listening. Shout out to Rand. He's on, actually, I got to follow up with Rand. He's doing something else interesting.
An example is Neil uses a great use of funnel tactics because the middle of the funnel is his Uber Suggest. You know, he's giving you free tools to use.
Yeah, and even this, like, SEO analyzer, right? Like, hey, drop in your website.
Yep.
This is probably adding to a database for him to automatically, I don't know how he would do that, but it's like you would put your, whatever your website is in there,
and
give you feedback, right? So it's a tool to your point.
Exactly. You're part of the top of the funnel and you're analyzing and you're getting results and you're determining first, you're looking to see, oh my God, look how far apart I am from where I need to be.
Interesting.
And then, you know, you dive deeper into his stuff. And I mean, he's just fantastic as far as knowing how to apply content and rate it. I've even been on a call with his people
They
are super nice. Yeah, they're very, very nice. Yeah.
So this is a tool. This is his like SEM Rush, I assume, or something.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got like a, you know, register. It's like this thing won't go away. Sign in with Google or not.
That's right.
That's really interesting. So again, just to bring it back to what you do, he's thought this through, which is he's appealing.
His copy there. If you want more search traffic, he's starting right there with you. It's all about you. If you want more search traffic, all you have to do is follow the website analysis report. You know, it's just that simple. That's what it tells you. So
yes.
It's very customer facing, very customer facing copy. Very simple.
It's clean, right? So it's like, okay, he's got a call to action like right away, which is, hey, if you want, if you're struggling to get more visitors to your site. So again, to your point, the copy is talking to me directly because I'm visiting here.
Yep.
The answer might be lie in this free report. And it's customized, right? So that's one call to action.
Yep.
And then he's saying, well, what's in this? It's like, this is the promise, right?
Yep. And see, he's talking about the pain. It's your struggle. And your struggle is getting visitors to your site. So it's the business issue. You know, you're back to what's the business problem.
Interesting. Okay.
You know, he doesn't tell you what he's going to offer you as far as help, but he's offering you a lot of good examples and he's building on your pain. Because for me, even though I look at this, it leads to a bunch of anxiety because
now,
exactly, now you have you're challenged to implement. And this is no small thing to implement.
So then that's why he had that pop up. And I don't know what happened to it, if I can get back to it, but which was, do you want me to just do all this for you?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was on this page. I wonder if it comes up.
Again. Yeah.
If we do it over here, let's click on another browser out of curiosity. Does it come up? Oh, this is going to block it. Oh, no.
Oh, there you go.
So, and this, so it's call to action to your point, which is he's built the story. He's given you everything you can ever imagine, which is this is all the stuff you should be getting. This is what you aren't getting.
Yeah.
And then this is what you should be going after. And it's like, ooh, that means I got to write a bunch of stuff.
Exactly. And then I have to do it right. Not only do I have to do it, I have to do it right.
I have to do it right, which is.
And that's a double whammy because I don't know if I'm doing it right. And then, you know, if it's somebody who works for you, you can assign them this. But if you're a small business person, or, you know, if you have a small team, then who's doing this work?
Right.
You know, it's a challenge. And it's a big challenge.
Right. And it's like, then you get into the like, okay, great, I'm getting traffic, but he's just focused on the traffic problem.
Mm-hmm.
So then this
and
is.
And he has proved it. I mean, this guy has got, you know, a fan base and a following of hundreds of thousands of people because he's proved it. He's even done, I've seen where he's done these little exercises where he builds a blog and he can build it into, you know, I don't know, gargantuan amount of traffic in 30 days. But
really? Okay. Yeah. That's very interesting.
So he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. So again, just to bring it back, like, you know, this is great copy. He's getting people to opt in with bait. And then he's got them in his funnel, essentially, and he can keep telling this story of like, well, this is what I would do.
Exactly.
I would solve this problem. This is my methodology. Just take it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, pay me a little bit of money for this course. Or maybe it's a lot of money. I don't even know. But I think what he's selling here is like a done-for-you service, right? So that means it's probably pretty not cheap, right?
It's not too bad.
It's not? No.
No, it's not too bad.
Does this go back to that original offer I saw? Yeah, it's the same offer.
Oh, okay.
Which is grow your traffic $10 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Higher rank on Google.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can give you something free again.
Right.
He's got social proof here. He's got social proof of who's bought.
Yep.
And then lots Uber Suggest. Oh, so this is Uber Suggest. Interesting.
Yeah.
Uber Suggest, for anyone that doesn't know, is a pretty powerful tool. Similar to SEMrush, where I can put any domain in or a search term. Let's look at, I don't know, what's a big domain? Let's look at, Salesforce, just for the
help. That's a good one. That's a good one, yeah.
And this tool basically says, and it's got this prompt. It says, look, they've got 702,000 organic keywords.
Mm-hmm.
And organic traffic of 2.6 million, and here's their domain score. So it's basically saying, okay, cool. Do you want to be like them? Register, and I'll show you what these keywords are, right?
But it gives you some on the side. It gives you some keyword ideas over there on the left sidebar. Yeah.
So this is basically, it's like a tool. It's a software tool. So he's selling people jumping on this, and then the upsell from there, you're saying, once he's sold me once on the tool, this creates another problem, which is, okay, now I can't go backwards because I know I can get this stuff.
Right.
You've shown me.
You're down. You're in the greased chute. We call it, and we call in sales copy. We call it the greased chute.
Oh my goodness. Okay. It's interesting. Okay, so it's interesting looking at this through the lens. I'm going to stop doing this for a sec, but. So then you can see this tool that he's selling for $10 a month. It shows you, hey, if you wanted clicks from this 550,000 search terms and people see your ad, it would cost you $3.19 on Google per click, right? So he's giving you a tool where you know you could do paid ads, or you could target these keywords and try and rank over time by writing.
Right. And yeah, and the far right column is, I think Europe is the score in the green area there that tells you the likelihood of you being able to rank in those keywords.
Oh, that's this.
Yeah. So, you know, it is a cool thing. And part of
the upsell to you saying is like, hey, you sold me once on a free thing. Or $10 a month, or let me just do the work for you. And he's got another service that's so expensive he doesn't advertise it on the site.
maybe not. His people will talk to you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be conscious of your time. I'm sure we can go through so many examples of this. This has been really interesting because it's interesting looking at how a successful copywriter frames a story so that you get attention. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that is important, particularly, you know, and how do people get in touch with you, Linda?
So many things that are important, but just sitting down, first of all, and just talking about what are your goals? You know, what are you trying to do? What are you having problems doing? And then just trying to develop a prescription for that. It's a lot like, again, it's a lot like going to see your doctor, what's working, what's not working. And developing a plan to get you there. And sometimes it's a matter of laying a good foundation if that's not in place, and then scaling it, and then starting adding to it from there. Because that's typically what some of the things that are missing.
And you typically work with coaches and consultants and different industries.
Yeah. And they get so busy and they get going that this is just, you know, the closet they never cleaned. And this stuff that will make their business really rock solid from the future. And they can find me at shinyobjectmarketing.com.
Which and is a great name, by the way.
I know. Thank you. And they can also find me on LinkedIn at lindajamesbennett.com. I also have Shiny Object Marketing on LinkedIn as well. But either any of those places, you'll find me.
That's awesome. So anyone that's a coach or a consultant that wants help with developing something that's really like appealing to your ideal client, getting them to take action so that they're in your funnel for the first time. And then what you do with them, selling them with copywriting. And we showed one example, which is Neil Patel, which is probably the best example. Like that's
it is great. Yeah, it's great. And if you're selling a high end, if you're selling a $2,000 package and up, you need to get the right framework in place. You need that. And it's essential. It's just essential. And if you're the person who's writing the copy yourself, I have to ask you, is your time better spent writing copy or talking to people where you can close them?
I think the answer for most is they want to get on the phone with people, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I help drive that traffic to do.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to wrap up with two questions. One is, how are you, Linda, changing the world?
I am changing the world by helping people connect through words.
That's beautiful. And that's eloquently said, so it's appropriate.
Thank you.
Okay, so the final thing is, when we have interesting guests on the Automate and Grow podcast, we like to have other interesting guests. So we would like you to nominate someone that is either an expert or an entrepreneur that you think would be someone that would be a great guest on Automate and Grow. So who would you, Linda Bennett, like to nominate as a future guest of Automate and Grow?
Well, I have two for you. And okay. You've heard me say one. I think you should invite John Lee Dumas. And I think the other one you need to invite is Dane Maxwell.
Dane Maxwell?
Yes. He has a new book coming out calling Start from Zero.
And so do you know either of these people?
Not personally.
Okay. Is there someone that you can also introduce us to that you would nominate?
That I know personally?
Yeah, that you would think would be a good guest. But those are good nominations. It just, they obviously would, we have to chase them a little bit.
You probably won't have to chase Dane that much because, he has a book coming out.
Okay.
Has a book coming out in March. So you might... look at it, listen to, go find his podcast, Start From Zero.
Okay.
And I think you'll probably find that he might be interested in coming on your show.
Great. Okay. Well, those are great nominations either way.
Anybody who's launching something is always.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to get them out there.
Yeah.
Great. So John Lee Dumas and Dane Maxwell, you've both been nominated to be on the podcast. We'll reach out to them. Thank you, Linda. I really appreciate
you
taking time. I'm sure we can talk again in the future on a future episode. So let us know. You're welcome to come back anytime.
Thanks a lot, Michael. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on the next episode of Automate and Grow.